Hope you're liking our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. I'd like you to become our Employee of the Month. I'll even hook you up with a $100 Visa gift card for being the Office Horror Stories Employee of the Month. Huh? That beats any parking spot or having your name on a crappy little plaque down a hall that nobody walks through, huh? For your chance to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month, all you have to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Then, shoot me an email with a screenshot. It's that easy. You're entered to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month. So, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, leave your review of Office Horror Stories, then email that to me. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, T-O-N-Y, at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and you're entered. Once a month, we'll pick a brand new Employee of the Month, give them a $100 Visa gift card, and you, by leaving that review, help spread the word that this show exists. As many employers like to say, it's a win-win, huh? Leave that review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Send me the proof, and you are entered. Go ahead, go get it done right now. Thank you for the support, and we'll let you know. Can you get fired for attending a funeral? In many cases, the answer is no. However, some bosses may believe otherwise. On today's episode of Office Horror Stories, we hear of an overzealous boss who simply refuses to accept that an employee needs to go to the funeral.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll-free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That indeed it is. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number to call in your Office Horror Story. Or just go to our website, OfficeHorrorStories.com. And write in your Office Horror Story, and we may use it on a future episode of the program. Today, it is Tony and Carol Hughes. We're going to have Jen and Carol switch off co-hosting the show, just as we do with the other podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, because everybody's got a shitload of Office Horror Stories.
Right? I'm really excited about this.
I am too. This is, it's a podcast that we've been in the works of making, and this is now episode 4, I believe. Since summer, we've been kind of working on getting this thing developed. And it's like, okay, we got to get it done. We ended up going through a move just as we were kind of getting it off the ground. And now I'm ready to go full speed ahead into 2020 and get this thing rolling, because this is going to be a fun show. So,
and everybody has a story. Like, there was that one job that one boss.
It was more than one.
I have had some real asshole bosses.
It's one of those things where I'm wondering if in the course of doing the show, if I'm ever going to get an email from any of them going, was that me you were talking about? Because I'm never going to say who or where or anything like that. But, you have the stories. It's not a show where we're going to, this is not a show, I should say, to call somebody out and name a name. This is just to kind of get it off your chest cathartically and just all of us to kind of have some good laughs over these you can't make this shit up stories. So when you do write in or when you call in, you don't name the names. We'll take the names out. Or if you want to change a name, change a name. Please let me know if you change the name. So otherwise, I'm going to have to change it for you. And don't name the companies that you're working for either, or any super identifying details. You don't want to get yourself in hot water by saying anything, you know, even if it's been a long time. Just a road you don't want to go down, and we don't want to go down either, frankly. So it's just a fun show where we can all tell the horror stories of this thing.
Yeah, just an outlet. We're not here to out anybody.
Exactly. It's Office Horror Stories. I got so sick of all that I now just live in my extra bedroom and do my job here because I don't want to be in an office. So that's pretty much my working life these days. So I'm just kind of living cathartically through everyone else and vicariously and sharing the stories. But oh my gosh, this is going to be fun. And many memories are going to be brought back. You're going to find Carol hearing these stories. You'd be like, oh my God, I completely forgot about that. That's how I've been feeling anyway when I hear some of these stories.
Because, I've had a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
And so there's some of these that are going to be like, oh, I remember that time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Let's jump into Our first one. And again, 833-HATE-JOB is the phone number to call in and share your office horror stories or write in on our website at officehorrorstories.com. First one says, hey guys, I'm not sure if the story fits what you're looking for, but hopefully you'll enjoy it. Several years ago, I worked for a local attorney as an office manager. I worked for him for years, so I have many stories. This is one of the first stories that came to memory. To this individual, life outside of his office should not exist. Family did not come first. Family did not matter to him. And when you were his employee, you'd better fit into that mold or at least pretend that you did, or you didn't last long on the job. The office hours were 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. The office was never closed for any of the holidays. The man wouldn't close the doors for anything, not even death in his own family. His sister died, and he didn't attend the funeral. He said he'd visit the gravesite after the dirt was settled. He wanted to be able to be accessible to his clients at all times during those business hours, even though he would never take a phone call from a client. I was a single mother living on my own, and the money was great for the area, so quitting without another job offer just wasn't an option. At the time, my oldest daughter was about 4 years old and attended preschool while I was working during the day. I was one of the lucky employees that had the 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. shift Monday through Friday. He made the comment to me almost weekly that I should feel privileged to have such a great shift that I could spend time with my daughter after hours. He actually made air quotes every time he said it. I live in the southernmost part of Alabama. We don't get much snow. And when we do, everything closes. Roads, schools, courts, grocery stores, doctor's offices. I'm not exaggerating when I say everything, with the exception of his law office. You get used to it after a while. You get into the mindset that a holiday is coming, but it's just another day because I'll be at work. He allowed some of us to alter our days off during the weeks of Christmas, but just the ones with children. If they were over the age of 5, you had to work half a day. On a dreary winter day, a little before lunchtime, I looked outside and it had started to snow. A short while later, I received a call from my daughter's daycare. They were closing early, so someone needed to pick up my daughter. I tapped lightly on his office door. When the door was shut, you really didn't want to disturb him, but I couldn't leave without telling him, and the daycare was closing in less than an hour. Secretly, I was ecstatic because my daughter had never seen snow, but I had to hide that excitement from my boss. He opened the door in a huff and said, "What is it?" I explained that the daycare was closing and that I had to go pick up my daughter. He was normally really pale, an old man, but he turned bright red as I spoke to him. He was silent for a moment. Then he slammed the door in my face and said, "Do what you have to do." I knew it wasn't over. I left work, picked up my daughter, and we had a great time playing in the snow. The next morning, the snow was melted, and it was just a memory. We went about our normal routine. My daughter went to daycare, and I went to work. The day was peaceful at first. I steered clear of the boss. I could tell he was still mad about me leaving early the day before. I didn't realize that another coworker had also left early that day for the same reason. When I found out that I wasn't the only one, I thought and felt a brief moment of relief, and maybe and I'd been spared the lecture, the screaming and the ridicule, the dreaded, "Join me in my office," and the door was closed. He waited until my day was almost finished to corner the two of us guilty employees in one room before he lowered the broom. With all the hatred I had ever heard coming from another human being, with gritted teeth, he closed in, stepping closer with every word while pointing his finger in our faces, and said in all seriousness, "If another act of God happens, you better have a plan B." With that, he turned, stormed out down the room, went to the kitchen, poured himself what we could only assume was prune juice. He seriously kept a bottle in the refrigerator at all times and stomped his way back to his office, slamming the door on his way through. My coworker and I stared at each other in silence for a moment, then burst out laughing. We heard the old man's door open and scattered like roaches. Thankfully, I don't work for him anymore, but I do have more stories if you would be interested. That sounds like a lovely work environment, doesn't it?
The whole time you're reading that story, like in my head, I pictured the guy looks like Ebenezer Scrooge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's what I kept seeing him like in my head.
It's a Christmas story, Christmas Carol.
Right?
Yeah.
Like who has a plan B for an act of God? Like nobody even has a plan A for that.
No.
let alone a plan B.
Some people
you just experienced basically a tornado.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I don't know. I don't even get like how you could force people to do that. I mean, isn't there some law that they have to have some personal time when they're full time? Like, isn't vacation like required?
You know, it's a great question.
Like, what the hell?
It's probably state by state. You know, and I don't know what the laws are, honestly, when you have that sort of a situation of you have a child and you have to go pick up that child. If the workplace can say, you know, and be a complete asshole like this guy was and dictate, well, that's great, but then this isn't the job for you. I mean, it's one thing if you're like a rocket scientist and if you leave, you know, the rocket's going to blow up because you have to be there to do some sort of whatever rocket scientists do, you know, or something of that nature, or like a surgeon. It's like, sorry, you got surgery today. Right. So you got to.
I've been here 8 hours. Sorry, got to leave you open. I'll be back tomorrow. Yeah,
you got to have a plan B for yourself, you know, in those sort of situations. And there are certain jobs I get that require that sort of a dedication or a backup plan where someone else can jump in to get your kid if need be. But I think office assistant is not one of them where it's like, sorry, that's not quite to the pay grade where they could even afford to have someone on hand to do that sort of thing. So that should not be expected of them either, you know, beyond coming into work on whatever schedule, you know, you needed to be. But if shit happens, shit happens. That's life.
Well, especially you have kids. You can't just leave them like outside of the daycare.
No.
And there have been times like in my work life, because I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I wish I had a kid. Because if I had a kid, I could call in sick a lot. I could leave early a lot. And not saying,
you know,
that they were making it up. But yes, I have worked with people who made that shit.
You know, it is. Real. It's a wonderful thing now.
You can argue with the mom of the sick child.
Having kids totally gives you that out without being questioned. Too much.
Well, except for Ebenezer Scrooge.
Except for Ebenezer Scrooge. But I can attest to that too, because I remember working in radio, and you'd see it all the time.
Don't say where.
I won't say where. And you know, honestly, it wasn't anywhere that we had worked together. But I remember that quite a bit, where there would be you know, parents, and I was, you know, a teenager or early 20s guy, had no kids, but there were other, you know, adults there who had kids, and then, you know, they had to go get them from school, they had to go do this and that, and, you know, they had to do it. There was nothing to it. But those of us who didn't have kids sometimes honestly felt a little bit like, I'm always the one that's left to have to do this extra work. You know, if I only had a kid, then I could get out of it too. And when you have it, it's like a hall pass.
But I know I've worked with people who have abused that.
That's the thing.
It's like, there's no way your kid is sick again.
I know.
And if your kid is sick again, there's something really, really, really wrong.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It was just because mom was too lazy to get up in the morning.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, I never believed it.
I mean, it can certainly be abused in many ways, shapes, or forms.
I mean, you just have dogs and cats. Like, people are like, you can leave your dog at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have that out.
Yeah, you're right. You don't. I remember many cases where it was abused. I remember one, and it was a nightmare. You know, it's probably a nightmare on both ends, quite honestly. There was, I remember I was the program director at a station, and which is like the boss of the people who are on the air, is what that role is. And I remember we had a club show. It was a top 40 station on a Saturday night, and it was like an hour drive to get to this club. This is kind of a rural area that they had to go out to. And this person had been scheduled to do this broadcast for weeks, if not months. And this person also did notoriously call in sick to work with the reasons of her children. And okay, as a parent, I get it. Kids do get sick on, you know, very quickly sometimes. I did feel that it was a little over abused. There was times where it was almost like every week, a day or two would be missing, which kind of got difficult to manage. But if that was really happening, that would be a nightmare as a parent. I would certainly.
And I've worked with people who really did have sick children.
Sure.
I have.
And it's a nightmare on both ends. It's a nightmare if you're the parent that's experiencing that. And it's a nightmare if you're the manager and you have to constantly try and find replacements at the last minute. It's a headache for everybody. But I remember it was like 8 o'clock at night. The broadcast starts at like 9:30. And again, it's an hour away. And I get a call going, yeah, I'm not gonna be able to make that show tonight.
My God.
Like, what? And it's like, if someone's not feeling good, could we at least tell me a little bit sooner than like right now? And I don't even think I was old enough to do the damn broadcast because it was a club show. I think I was like 19 or 20 and you had to be 21. So I'm like the only one around. I don't remember how I even solved the problem, but it was, I just remember being like really in a pickle at that moment going, what the hell? Because it was someone who had consistently done the I'm sick or my kids are sick 2-3 times a week. And it was,
like that person, who, I'm assuming a woman who wrote in about her boss.
Mm-hmm.
But that's bad too. If your boss, like your kid's legit sick.
Oh yeah.
And then you've got one of those bosses.
Yeah.
That are going to act like that.
I don't know how you manage it when you have, if you have a legit kid that's sick that, and you have a boss like that, because
for him,
you couldn't. I mean, you're not going to change that person. That's the thing. As much as this, our writer here is in the right, and to be upset and to be angry, and this boss is completely insane and over the top, you're still not going to win that battle, especially if they own the company and it's their thing.
And they're dangling good money in front of you, so.
Yeah. I mean, the only way around that is suing them.
I could do this and put up with it, or I could be working at the convenience store making $7.25 an hour.
And that's an abuse of power at that point. I mean, that's where
absolutely.
I mean, that's all. I mean, you see those abuses of power, not only in those areas, but then you also see it in other areas too, where it gets to be the employer, especially with a lot of the sexual harassment stuff that we see coming out now, where it's like the intimidation of like, well, if you want to go and, climb this ladder here, that sort of shit.
Oh, I have a really great sexual harassment story for sexual harassment night.
I can't wait.
I will share that with you.
The door will be open soon, I'm sure. Yeah. 833-HATE-JOB. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. Is that our phone number? I think it is. Yeah, 833-HATE-JOB. I'm still getting used to the phone number on this show. It's a toll-free number. You call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and share your office horror story with us. Let's go to our next one. It says, I was at work one day when I was a pharmacy technician. I had to wait on a customer at the pickup window. She was picking up her prescriptions for psych meds. She was a regular customer that had many mental health issues. You could tell just by looking at her. She wasn't old there. We always had to have the customer sign their name as proof of who picked up the prescription and to recognize if they had been counseled on how to use the medication properly. We had a book on the counter for signatures, and this was many years ago before they used a computer pad to sign in. I could not find any ink pen because someone was always stealing it or just taking it down to the other drop-off pharmacy window. I looked around, couldn't find anything to write with. Then I saw a pen lying down the counter by the computer. I quickly grabbed the pen and handed it to the lady to use. It turned out to be a red pen. She looked at the book and saw all the other customers had signed with black or blue. She started to flip out on me because she wanted to know what the red pen meant. There had to be some specific meaning or reason behind why I would make only her sign with the red pen, not the black or blue pen like the other customers. I told her I was sorry and it was only the pen lying nearby and that's why I gave it to her to use. She did not believe me. She went and found a different pen. She was very upset. She just knew that I was conspiring against her and that the red pen was being used to single her out. The customers in line behind her didn't know what to do. Finally, she signed the book with her other pen and left. We all kind of had a laugh about it later, but she really believed that the red pen signified something very sinister. I also worked with a pharmacist that would sneak down the cough syrup aisle and drink all the codeine cough syrup. He would stand at the counter trying to check the prescriptions I had filled before they left the pharmacy. While he was drunk on cough syrup, he'd always sway back and forth with his eyes closed. I had to report it and help headquarters set up a camera as proof of what he was doing. I liked the guy and felt bad having helped set this up on him, but he was going to kill somebody. I also worked with another pharmacist that was a drunk. She'd literally come to work still drunk, and she made tons of mistakes that I would catch. I even had to go to a customer's house to retrieve medication she gave out incorrectly. And she'd ask me to go to the liquor store to buy vodka for her. Our pharmacy was inside a large grocery store chain. I love my pharmacy as I was there when we opened it and when it was new. I watched it grow and was there 9 years. I also had to work with another pharmacist that was crazy to me. She was an overeater with many mental health problems. After I gave birth to my first child, I found out the crazy woman would be my boss. I told my supervisor at her headquarters that I quit. She said, "I don't blame you." There you go. That's Adventures in Pharmaceuticals. That's scary because there's so many possible things that can go wrong with getting the wrong medication from the pharmacy.
Well, and then the drunk one and the other guy who was drinking the cough syrup, like, she for real could have saved some lives by reporting them. Mm-hmm. So I know that they were like, she's throwing me under the bus. But no, she might be saving some lives, actually.
That's just, it's so scary to think about. There was a pharmacy that I
probably happens all the time, right?
Oh my God. There's been some pharmacies I have called back and said, I think you really should take a look at that individual. Just because they didn't seem all there. It used to be, I don't know if it's just because it's getting harder and harder to find employees or what, but there was a certain standard of kind of who's behind the counter at the pharmacy. And you kind of felt like, oh, this is borderline doctor-like individual. You know,
Yes, someone with all of the knowledge.
Yes. And yeah, I mean, they kind of got their shit together. But I swear to God, the last couple of years, I feel like this person could either be working the drive-through window at a really scary, shady fast food restaurant in the bad part of town, or they could be behind the pharmacy window, either or. Each job had an opening and they would have taken them. And it's just been like, seriously? I'm always checking the bottle and always reading the bottle to make sure whatever I get is indeed what I was supposed to be getting. And sometimes now what I love about the internet is you can Google the pill that you got down to the manufacturer and see what it looks like just to make sure that what the bottle says is indeed what you have. Because sometimes it can be like,
yeah, so you just gave me something else to obsess about.
Add it to the list of shit to worry about, everybody.
Damn it. I'm never like, is this what it looks like? I don't know.
Just double check because you don't know. But yeah, I mean, I suppose it kind of varies from place to place, but that's
that red pen thing cracked me up because I could totally see somebody doing
that. And you know, that poor woman, obviously there's a disorder going on there that is causing her to feel that way. And, you know, that's her reality. That's, you know, she's believing that. And then all the people are looking at her like, oh, what the hell? You know, there's nothing really going on here. But in her world, that's it.
And everybody behind that lady was like, she better not make me sign with the red pen. That obviously means something.
That bitch has got it out for me. Yeah. Like, no, I just couldn't find a pen. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Nightmare. 833-HEY-JOB. 833-HEY-JOB to share your office horror story with us or write it on the website officehorrorstories.com. And of course, please do subscribe. Press the subscribe button, whatever platform it is you're listening to us on. Take a moment to do it while we're reading the next story. You'll be glad you did. You won't miss any episodes of our program as they come out weekly. All right, next one. I worked as a manager at a movie theater, and last summer the company was cutting payroll like, whoa. So I wasn't getting the best hours when I was offered a paid research position in my field of criminal justice. And from July and August, I accepted the position for 4 days a week. I went to tell my boss that for the rest of the summer, I was available for two shifts, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the days that matter in a theater, and I explained my situation. He rips into me about how I was really letting him down because he was counting on me for the summer. Then he says, I stabbed him in the back because I asked if my old theater manager, if they were posting for a position in May, who had previously told me to check with him. So I'm sitting there thinking the following, that I haven't been getting hours, but I was still going to work when it counted, that I hadn't received my past two raises or reviews, and that this man is ripping into me for a conversation I had with my old boss 2 months earlier because I wasn't sure if I could afford the commute to my current theater anymore. I left and started crying hysterically in the office, my car, the shower, and my room. For every time after that, I walked in with the attitude that I could just quit at any second. Made working there a lot easier for the after the couple of 60-hour weeks I ended up working at the beginning because I got three shifts at the theater instead of my available two. This was also the year after the same boss also yelled at me for him messing up the schedule when I needed to ask him if I could miss work for my grandfather's funeral. A total douchebag boss yells at me for needing to change my availability and goes on a rambling tirade. I could not handle it anymore. There you go. And a story, it's a brief one, but it's one of those scheduling nightmares that, that you know, kind of goes along with the job if you're going to be in the management position. I get if you hate doing that as a role, but if that's the role you have, either do
it. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you're the manager of a movie theater.
Yeah.
Chances are a good number of employees are high school age.
Yeah.
And there's always something coming up with high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of part of fast food would be the same way.
Yeah.
It's like you have a pretty not totally dependable staff.
Yeah. You got it. It's about adjusting your expectations for the job. It's one of those where your employees are not surgeons. It's not that type of job where they kind of have
or
to be.
Or your property.
Yeah. Or your property. Exactly. These are, you know, younger folks. They got a lot going on. They're not to the stage of maturity and reliability, or they're just, you know, they took the job knowing it's going to be flexible. Like this individual did, or they're not getting the hours that they were promised to get. And yeah, I mean, it's an all around circle of frustration. And
sometimes though, people, I know somebody who runs movie theater is going to write in, and I'm not singling them out, but we also know there are people who take certain management jobs that really shouldn't have them.
Yeah.
And then they see it as this position of power
mm-hmm.
where it's like, whatever I say, you must obey,
yeah.
sort of thing. Because we've all worked for that boss.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I think, and that guy kind of sounds like that. Like, come on, a funeral for a grandparent, you don't have a choice.
No.
Like, no. You cannot tell anyone they cannot go to their grandparents' funeral.
No.
Like, that's just ridiculous.
Especially if it's like a part-time hour.
Exactly.
It's like, no, this is not... This is not
that. You don't
have
benefits.
No.
You're being paid minimum wage.
No.
You know, we expect you to do everything we say, and you've done it, but the funeral, that's just right out.
I my guess is there's just so much unhappiness in every aspect of that circle of employment, where if you're the manager, you're constantly frustrated by everybody. If you're the yeah. employee, you're constantly frustrated because you're not getting the hours you want and you're not getting treated the way you want. So there's just a lot of, I think, lashing back and forth at everybody. And it creates this environment that is so shitty. And it's so rare to have one that's really functioning well. It probably exists in some places, but it's, you know, I think that's the, not the standard or not the norm, with those sort of situations. But, I think that's why so many of us, when we look back at nightmare type stories, a lot of them are from younger ages, because that's kind of the circle of where things are really crazy. Although sometimes, I don't know, things get pretty crazy no matter what age we're at, depending on what we're doing. A radio that, you know, always seems to be kind of, always kind of like you can't make this shit up, at least how I kind of felt about it in many cases, where it's like, oh, this is pretty dramatic, or more dramatic than it needs to be in a lot of cases.
And you never went through the fast food time in your life.
I did radio from 14 on up. I have been on the air basically my whole life. And even before that, I was playing radio station in my basement. So,
because most people had the first stepping stone yeah. into the workforce was fast food or like a movie job
mm-hmm.
or maybe something at the grocery store.
Yeah. It was It was
kind of skipped all that.
I was doing grunt work, though. I mean, I was doing anything I could possibly get. I mean, it was like anything from working the front desk at the station to, you know, the overnight shifts to board hopping and running the high school sports games and just anything I could do to be there. And I would just hang out and not get paid for like days. I went to work like 7 days a week and got paid for like two. But I'm glad I did it, because had I not, I wouldn't be, you know, where I am now with my job and everything. But it took that dedication, because I just really loved doing that. It was kind of what, I mean, even though a lot of it wasn't super fun, but it was like, I'm going to get, this will pay off at the end.
You know, nowadays, like, there's not a company that would let a teenager do what you did.
It's probably a huge liability.
Like 7 days a week. We can't have this. Like, you have to go home.
It's crazy. I look back at my bosses from back then, and I'm still in touch with them. They're still friends. And we talk every now and then. And I look back and I'm like, holy shit, they had a lot of trust to give a 15-year-old a key to the radio station. I'd ride my bike in there on the weekends and no one would even be in the building. And I would go in there. I would change the music and the automation of the station just to hear what I wanted to hear. I would do all sorts of things. And then I would just go play in the production room all day and just learn and just kind of mess around with stuff and try to come up with ideas. And then they'd give me like, okay, you can do the shift from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. on like the station no one listens to. But I'd start at 6 a.m. that day. It's like when I show up. But yeah, so good times. 833-HOP, 833-HOP to share your office horror story with us. Next one says, this may be buried, but easily the craziest boss I've had, hands down. Let me start at the beginning and delve into the progression of crazy from quirky to full-on batshit. I was in a hurry to leave my prior job, and a friend offered to set me up for an interview at this paint shop. He warned me that the boss was crazy, but I figured he must be exaggerating. My interview went from a 5-minute conversation about my skills and experience and became a 2-hour-long chit-chat. The job sounded easy enough and paid great for what it was, so I ignored the giant red flags and started shortly thereafter. Here's a list of the things that were unusual that occurred. 1, leaving me alone in the store to fend for myself after 3 days with no formal training or knowledge of how to work the cash register or the product knowledge. Getting very upset I didn't close the store properly and make great sales the former evening. Calling me repeatedly for no apparent reason, for example, to check if I was still coming to work when I was scheduled to come into work. Calling me and trying to have casual conversations while I struggled to hang up because I was too polite to just tell my boss to fuck off. Leaving, period. Stained shorts on the front counter for all to see. Knocking over a paint can, not cleaning it up, and then leaving it for me to clean up the next day when opening the store. Having her dog, which was half pit bull, half lab, hang out in the store in her car in the dead of summer. Having employees clock out to go walk her dog. Letting her dog attack customers. Showing up at the store at random times to just say hi. She lived in Vermont with her boyfriend who was studying there, and the store she managed was in Montreal, Canada. My personal favorite experience is as follows. I was a student at the university while I had this job, and it was by no means my number one priority. The boss knew I was a student and I had exams. I'd taken a week off to go visit my family over the Christmas holidays the day after my exams ended, and I'd requested certain days off. I only worked weekends anyways to write for my tests. My boss, having recently graduated, was very understanding and obliged. The day before my last final, 2 days before my week's vacation, I received roughly 25 to 30 phone calls from work while I was at the library studying. My boss called every hour and half hour, first my cell, then my home phone. After this went on all day, she left a rude message on my parents' answering machine telling me that I was being unprofessional for not answering. I was suspended indefinitely for not calling her back when I returned from my week's vacation. I tried to go look for another job, but I suspect she would tell anyone who called for references horrible things when they called, because all would drop all interest after the first interview, in which I did very well. At one point, she fired me because I didn't do something she never told me to do. She took me out for coffee to tell me how she was going to let me go, and then reversed her decision when we got back to the store, and the other assistant manager coincidentally quit right as we got back. Eventually, she quit and I stayed on because the job was perfect for a student. Plenty of time to do my homework or goof off, and very good pay. The next boss who replaced her had his own set of issues, but not nearly as disturbed as the first. My friends and family always joked that I should write a book about my experiences there. Maybe one day I will. Sounds like a rather unstable boss in that situation.
Well, and the whole calling you constantly thing. Like, yeah. What?
I don't know what to make of that. Is it, is it loneliness? Is it, I don't know how to make friends with people?
No, it's a batshit crazy boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you don't take someone out for coffee to fire them.
No.
Like, that's when you go into the office and they shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody in the building knows you're being fired.
Yeah.
And then you sadly walk out and gather your things. You don't get fired by going out for coffee with a boss. That's when you get that cool promotion or the thing you've been wanting. That's the happy time to tell you something.
It's not like, hey, we got to talk. I think it's time for us to part ways. That's just not how that goes in that.
Like now that we're back to work and Bob quit. So you're so not fired. Like, who does that?
You're back. You're all good.
She gets back. It's like, Bob quit. What? I just fired Joe. Come on.
When you have bosses like that.
No, you've got to stay.
You got to think, I always, and I've had several that have been that kind of, back and forth, Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, where it's one moment like, oh, everyone's great. You're all doing such a great job. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then 20 minutes later, you get an email from them just ripping everyone apart. What the fuck is going on here? Literally, I've had that. And it turned out prescription meds was the answer. And we ended up we got him fired because we're starting to get we had these exact same things happen. And then one day, one of us got into his email just to see what the hell, is there any signs? What the fuck is going on with this person? And then we found a string of emails between this person and a listener. And the listener was providing him, was basically the dealer. A listener who was suffering from cancer was selling him their prescription drugs. And it all timed out well because you'd see the times where okay, let's go meet at the Boston Market, have ourselves a nice chicken and turkey dinner. And I'll buy the stuff from you. And then 20 minutes later, we get these fucking insane emails of just how we're all worthless human beings. And if we want to keep our jobs, blah, blah, blah. It was one of those two where it's like, I want you to work literally 7 days a week. And it was that you had to shift every fucking day. You're making $19,000 a year in radio, but you got to work 7 days a week. And it was horrendous. But the answer there was
in the meantime, was drugs. I'm going to get drugs from our listeners.
Yeah. And he's getting drugs from the listeners. Yeah. That didn't end well for him. I remember getting an email. And I won't say his name by any means. If he's listening, you'll know who I'm talking about. But I remember getting an email from him. Probably, 5-10 years ago, saying, hey, remember me? I'm just like, how could I forget? Hey, I just wanted to say I'm sorry about all that. I was kind of messed up back then. I'm like, okay, that's good. Thank you.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. I like that guy better.
Yeah, then not that far after that, someone else who ended up working with him at some other place after the fact, we had traded stories. And they're like, so did you work with so-and-so and so in so-and-so place? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, was he fucking crazy back then too? I'm like, yeah.
I think that probably the boss in that one person's letter could be somebody who's like,
yeah, hi. You just don't know. There's usually a reason that somebody's doing these things. It could be just an imbalance in themselves, or it could be, they're doing something. It's just hard to know.
And then when we get to the episode on when your boss has a nervous breakdown at work, I'll share my story about that.
I can't wait.
Like, literally, she had a nervous breakdown.
Oh.
And it went on. It was, it got so awkward. It was so sad.
This is a great show. You like it, Carol?
I do. I do.
833-HATE-JOB is our phone number to share your office horror stories with us, or write on the website, officehorrorstories.com. Press subscribe, and again, join us next week for another episode of Office Horror Stories.